Well, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Joe and Angel, welcome to another Mailbag Monday. We're going to take some time and answer some questions you sent in. We go over and try to pick the best, most broadest ones. So, Angel, what do you say we jump in?
All right, Joe, I'm not always the best at showing my wife I love her. I really do, but I tend to rely on grand gestures instead of everyday affirmations. Do you have any ideas or suggestions on how I can show her that I love her through small gestures every day?
Yeah, you can go to the bookstore and get you a book on small gestures and do one every day. That's what I did years ago. I went to this Barnes & Noble, some bookstore, and I wasn't looking for it, but it just crossed my ideas for husbands. They were just one line of stuff. You know, think about doing this, you know, make her coffee, you know, give her a foot rub at night before she goes to bed. Just do one thing, not 47 things. And so we all have busy days. We're all very busy. But just pick one thing today or tomorrow. I'm going to do this for my wife. Just something small, but it'll show up big time. I promise you.
Remember that time you gave me for Christmas, Joe, one year.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a foot rub for 30 days. Guess how many I got? One.
It was one good one, though. It was really nice.
That was the shortest 30 days I've ever had.
Okay. We're working on it.
That was pretty funny. But anyway, yes, I think it's like yesterday, Joe said, can I help you make up the bed? Because I'd wash the sheets. And that meant a lot to me.
It did.
So you could do little things just like that.
He thanked me for 10 minutes. Thank you. For what? Help me make the bed. Well, I needed to help you. See, you've never done that before. Well, I should have. And so,
yeah.
I love you, sugar.
So little things like that.
There are no perfect people out there, guys, but they're just getting back up people.
But don't promise the 30-day foot rub unless you intend to follow through.
One thing a day. Don't stick a time up.
Hey, Joe and Angel. I'm in my late 20s and still single. I am starting to think that maybe I'm too picky. I really want my future spouse to enjoy the hobbies I do. Is that realistic?
Nope.
Am I placing too much value on that?
Yep.
If so, what should be the top priority to look for in a spouse?
You know, opposites attract. I've taught marriage seminars for 32 years. Opposites attract. Well, and no couples will come to us. Oh, we're so alike. We're so in love. No, you're different as daylight and dark, and you're dumb as a bat. But you'll grow into it. And most of the couples that we deal with in our seminars have been married a long time. They come to realize we don't hardly agree on anything, but we're in love. We want to help one another. We want to love one another. I used to tell my kids, when you get married, you're trying to find the one person you want to spend the rest of your life giving your life away to. Because a marriage is a covenant. Can't have a covenant if somebody dies. So what you're looking for, I want to find the one person I want to spend the rest of my life serving. It's not what I get. It's who I want to serve. I would like to serve this person the rest of my life. And so it's not what you like, what you don't like, whether they agree with or not. Who do you want to serve? You don't lose your hobbies or your interests or your IQ or your GPA. You don't lose any of that. Or your talents. You don't lose any of that. But you just find somebody you'd like to spend part of your life helping out. So that's a good answer.
Well, it is. But I mean, I've seen couples where they both like to hike.
Yes.
And then they both like to be, they're real outdoorsy. So I have seen that. I don't think that's wrong. I think what you look for in a spouse, I think people look for such surfacey things like he's got to be tall. He's got to have dark hair. He's got to do this, that, you know, and women are the worst at that. Men, I don't know. Men may be just equally as bad. I don't know, but
they are.
But I will say that I would say look at the heart.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, because long after those looks fade.
Yes, ma'am.
And long after that hobby has changed to something new.
Because it will. I thought you just like this. I don't anymore. You don't like that anymore? Oh, my goodness. That's going to get confusing. Because they're going to change. They're going to grow. They're going to mature. They're going to like something different. I thought you just like green. I don't like green anymore. I like blue now. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that. And so They're going to change. They're going to grow. So just grow with them.
And long after that, all that is faded, there still is a heart.
Yes.
And I tell you what, I would take a heart any day.
Yes, you
would. I looked for at 20 and what I looked for at 50 was two completely different things.
That's the truth. Whoa, that is the truth.
The only thing that my first husband and Joe have in common is they're both funny and that's it.
Yep. And that's about all there is.
Yep.
So, and fellows, you've been married multiple times. You've been married, you're on your second spouse. The spouse died, you got divorced. When you get remarried, you're going to marry somebody totally different. Love is still love. It's still serving. It's going to be a different world, different hobbies, different thoughts, different likes, but it's still love. It's still, hey, I'm going to help you do that. You ever done it before? Nope, but I'd like to help you do that.
And when you're looking for a spouse, look for your best friend.
Oh, my goodness.
At the end of the day, when I was divorced, the thing that I missed most was having a friend.
Yep.
And so,
somebody
that you could say, hey, let's go to lunch, or hey, we're, you know, da 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 da.
Or somebody that would just listen to you.
So I would say you're not being too picky. You're probably just need to expand your horizons on the heart issue.
Very good.
Joe, my spouse and I are navigating infertility. We so desire kids that it truly breaks our hearts and just feels helpless at times. Any advice or stories of hope you can share? Well, yes, I can share one.
Yeah, go ahead.
My personal life.
Yes.
I tried for 10 years to get pregnant.
10.
And I did not think that I could have children. And my family was all freaking out and they were like, well, why don't you adopt? And I was like, I'm not opposed to adoption because I have a nephew that's adopted that I adore. And
great young man.
So I wasn't opposed to it. I just didn't feel like that was the route I was supposed to go down. Well, one day I was at church and this man gave probably the hardest altar call I've ever heard in my life. And he said, there's a woman in here that you want to have a child, you need to come down here and get on your knees and start to worship God. And I remember thinking, ugh, I don't want to do that because then
everybody's going to know.
Everybody's going to ask you every week, are you pregnant yet? You know, I didn't want to hear all that. So, but I turned to my sister-in-law who had adopted and then got pregnant. And yep. I said, ugh, when he said that. And I said, do you think I should? And she goes, it won't hurt. And so I, by myself, not one other person got up, but by myself, I walked down to the front and got down on my knees and I started. Finally, two other women came in. He said, it's for her, but you girls can get the overflow. Yes. I got up from there. I didn't feel the nail scarred hands. There was no big,
no lightning bolt strike.
Yeah, nothing huge happened, but I walked away from that and I said, that's my point of contact. That's when I know I release my faith there. So every time I think about it, I go back to that moment and I would say, God, I just thank you.
Yep.
I don't see myself growing old without grandchildren. Yep. And one day I was at home and my sister-in-law, we lived in the same complex, and she said, oh, I need to borrow something. So she came over and she'd been cleaning and she had smelled like bleach, and it hit my nose and I just ran to the bathroom and threw up. And I said, I am sorry, I don't know what that just came on me really fast. And she said, you're pregnant. And I said, oh, no. By now I'm just not even thinking about it. And then I thought about it after she left and I said, well, let me go get a pregnancy test. So I got like 5.
Yeah.
And then I was pregnant.
Woo!
And so
Christmas to you.
I had a son. And I guess I ovulate once every 5 or 6 years, because then 3.5 years later, I had a daughter. And it was, both of them were true blue miracles.
Great kids.
And so I would not be opposed to adoption. I would not be opposed at trying fertility treatments.
Yep.
I think you should do everything you can in the natural and trust God for the supernatural.
That's right.
But at some point, get an agreement, get your faith there, and let that be your point where you release your faith, whether it's towards not necessarily how the child's coming, but that you're going to have a child.
Yes.
And and I remember somebody said to me, because we traveled all the time, we were flew every week to different places. I was on the road. And so somebody else that did that said, how do you do that with kids? And I go, well, it's normal. If it's normal to us, it's normal to them. That's all they know. It's
don't make anything out of it. Just what we do.
My kids knew how to sit on a plane. Yeah. They knew how to behave.
You had to be quiet at a dinner table, knew everything.
Yeah. So that was just our life. And so and then the second one came and that was a little different.
And still is.
Still is a little different. She was a little live wire.
And now we're going to be a grandma.
And that little live wire is going to give me a little girl. So, yeah. So,
life's a roller coaster and it's fun.
Yes. So I believe God he desires for you to have children.
Yes.
That is God's plan.
Yes.
And if you have that desire in your heart, then he's placed it there for a purpose.
Come on.
And we agree with you.
Come on.
That you will have children.
Yes.
All right. Anything else?
Oh, I'm thinking about, the great men of God. Lady couldn't have a baby. She goes to the priest. She's crying. The priest thinks she's drunk. What's wrong? Why are you coming here drunk? I'm not drunk. I'm grieving. Why? Because I want a baby. And he says, my husband's married and I want to have a baby. And so, okay. And he just prayed over and she left. And she said, God, if you'll give me a baby, I'll give him back to you. So, that little kid came out 5 years later. She brought him back to the priest and he grew up and he was the greatest prophet in the history of Israel. How did you have? Well, I had a mom who couldn't have children. And all of a sudden she prayed and another guy prayed and I came out and that's the greatest prophet Israel ever had. Saved the country, saved the nation. Samuel saved the nation. Who were you? I was an unexpected baby.
The devil fights.
Yes.
A call from the very beginning.
Yes.
So stand strong, mom and dad. God's got a plan.
God's got a plan. It'll be great.
Hey, we love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.